Okay, team. How charming. Right, wonderful to see everybody. Longtime allies, medium recent allies, immediately recent allies. That's really super great. And our youngest member, Juniper, over here making her video premiere, because that's an attitude we all want to have. That attitude was a, which Venus will bestow on us. So yes, well, some play tonight. So, in honor of the Pyrocene era, we begin with The Heat Is On. Here we go. Okay, so it's I guess I'll turn to speaker here. It's a little violent, the video, but we have the antidote right here, but it's so charming. from the Wayback Machine, caught up in the action, I'll be looking out for you. A great sentiment. And part of our convening our dream council, caught up in the action, we'll be looking out for each other. The pressure's high just to stay alive. We have a beautifully crafted outro that segues right to that, going, yes. But we do have our antidote, something we will be keeping with us through our council because it's so great. We couldn't quite lift the video off of the Instagram, so it's a little small, but it's we're going to give it a try because it's so rousing. Okay, so share screen. Yes, there's that. There's that. Oh, I had this issue again. Where are you? Excuse me. Yes, technical kerfuffles. Desktop. No. Well, I guess I could just share my whole screen. Well, what the hell? Will that work?
That should work if you can see the
yeah, because I can't see the okay. All right. Thank you all for your Mercury.
Look at the baby.
What?
I said, look at the baby.
Exactly. Look at the baby. All right. So here we go. We're going to try this.
2 years of work for one moment. This is one of the most important projects of my career. I would love to inspire people to find their own ways to help nature. After a very long process of hard working, testing, building, we have to ship 3.7 thousand kilos to the middle of nowhere, to the heart of the Amazon forest. My physical training is very important. It's a very heavy box falling at high speeds, and I'll do it for the first time, and I have only one chance. I have to be as strong as I can, so I don't miss it. My mission is to release 100 million native seeds in a devastated area in the heart of the Amazon forest. I have to dive as fast as I can and make sure I release the seeds precisely at 6,000 feet. After exhausting studies and tests, we know 100% if the seeds are released at the right altitude and the right location, Mother Nature will perform the rest. The upper winds and the ground winds will precisely lead the seeds to the devastated area. Mission accomplished. Now the only thing we'll need is sunlight and rain.
There we have it. So that's, that's exactly. So that's what we want to keep with us, right? So we have the heaters on and then, you know, boys duking it out, you know, whatever. But then we have Luigi with us. What we want to do is the diaspora of seeds, right? So we gather at this hot time, and let me remember to bring up coyote hair from Stella Coyote, because we are tricksters. We are dedicated to practicing spiraling, because authoritarianism and tyranny feeds on conflict and polarity. It's a very tricky thing. So how to be agents of calm response in a hot reactive field. Here we go, team. Okay, trickster coyote hair with many herbs in there. So there's so much going on, right? So Venus is now returning from the underworld. That's a big thing. I have not seen him yet, but if we were to get up in the pre-dawn hours, we would see Venus rising as the morning star. very important part of our mythology. You know, many of you have heard this before, and you can amplify it because all myths have 800 ways of telling them and adding details, and they're all really useful. But as we know, you know, Venus will be the evening star as she was, you know, some months back, you know, and then she gets so close to the sun that we don't see her, called Venus in the underworld, where she's been for the last some weeks. And then the heliacal rise of Venus, when she rises as the morning star. Many important things about this. So Venus is Inanna in the Middle East and the West. Venus is Quetzalcoatl in Mesoamerica. All cultures notice this and aligned with this, right? We are here for restoring mythological participatory literacy. So in the Quetzalcoatl version, which Dream Council one has heard, but here we need it again. Quetzalcoatl is a pretty good leader, but then Tezcatlipoca, the Lord of the Smoking Mirror, comes to him and says, "You're getting old and not so cute. Drink this balche, this intoxicant. You'll feel much better." And so Quetzalcoatl drinks it and goes crazy and makes evil deals with corporations and Roger Stone and whatever, and sleeps with his sister and wakes up in the morning going, "Oh, I have really messed up. Leadership has become corrupt and I must go away." You know, and the culture would know that, oh, it's the time for the community to go away and to recraft, you know, true leadership, to compost corruption out of it, and true leadership dedicated to community well-being. And so when Venus returns as the morning star, that's when, you know, Quetzalcoatl would return, and in a terrible historic oops, that's when Cortez showed up, and they mistook the man for the myth. Oh, always a bad idea. No. And so we're here again at that at this spot. So it's meant to be wise leadership born in each heart. And when Inanna Venus goes to the underworld, many ordeals, many complex things, but when she emerges, the Sumerian poetry is very trippy. First she rests, and may we all feel like resting because it was intense. And then she, it says she's contemplating the wonders of her own vulva. And she goes, "Oh, it is so cool to be a woman, even if you don't have a partner." And the idea occurs to her, Uranus, genius, inspiration coming for all of us. She goes, "I know, for my overland adventure, I'm going to rescue human culture. And human culture has been stolen by Enki, the god of wisdom, who has become a tyrant." So sophisticated of the Sumerians to say anyone, anything unchallenged will become tyrannical. So Enki has stolen human culture, called Mies, all the, you know, and left empty celebrity baubles in its place. And they say it almost really like that. And so Inanna goes, "Oh, okay, I'm going to rescue human culture." So she becomes, now where we are now in the myth, she becomes a cultural liberating trickster. And that's why we've convened here, to align ourselves with such things, liberating cultural hijinks, of which there are many, and antidotes to the toxicity, to metabolize the poison. So she grabs her best friend, and they sail in their little woven coracle. That's right. I have the picture of the little woven coracle. Yes, hi there, Deborah Felmuth. That's right. We'll bring it up at some, in the fullness of time, in her little round woven coracle to Enki's realm. And being a Venusian hero, she doesn't go grr, not like the heat is on video, right? You know, more like the Luigi video. She doesn't go grr. She gets Enki drunk on beauty and poetry. And as he gets drunk, he gives back to her these parts of human culture called Mies that he's stolen. And the first thing he gives back is the erotic arts. "I give to you the erotic arts." And then he says, "Okay, and then I give you Zoom, right? And then I give you back writing and, you know, real estate, everything." And she puts them all in her boat and she sets sail with her friend. And Enki wakes up in the morning going, "Where's human culture? I know I put it here somewhere." And his assistant says, "You got drunk. You got out drunk." And there's Inanna and her friend, you know, in their little coracle. You know? And so he does send demons after her. This is all relevant to our personal lives, and collective lives. But she's so enthused and pumped up with the friendship and the joy and the triumph that she fends them off with spiraling alacrity. Not unlike the Statue of Freedom, we'll bring her in more. Right, and that's how Inanna brings human culture back to humans, and then they can have a wise renaissance of humans humbly cooperating with nature's guiding genius. That's where we are in the myth. We're in the myth of she's just arriving, she's just contemplating the wonders of her own vulva, she's just about to, excuse me, decide, set forth to bring human culture back. So these are very resonant things, and so it's a great opportunity for us to gather now at this pivotal time, because everything we've ever done, Jupiter stationing, all the chapters of our lives are kind of pouring in with resonance. So in 2016, I was part of Pacifica's news coverage, mythic news coverage of the Republican convention. And at that time, it was the same deal. Venus was about to arise from the helical rise of Venus. And it's like, no, 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 don't mistake the man for the myth. Oh, they did it, right? And this is a crucial point. The myths and the rituals live in us, especially if we don't know about them, right? If we know about them, we can participate. If we don't, we are possessed. We're going to work this theme about possession, you know, and to dissolve the webby tendrils of possession to free everybody. So there was that, but I was remembering, you know, all kinds of things from that convention, and one was I was working with the Pacifica team and walking down the street with Sue, a new Pacifica friend, and she's like, why do you talk to people with different opinions? And I go, well, that's because we cross borders and we do that. And she goes, oh, no, I never do that. And I go, oh. So time passes and I go to the Republican convention. I go to an outdoor, I think it's an Ethiopian restaurant. And the guy comes up and goes, mind if I sit here? I go, no, what's your story? What's your story? Remember, all of us, when you meet demons in the underworld or angels, you know, you all say, what's your story? And he goes, well, I'm with the promise keep. I'm with the promise keepers. Do you know what they are? And I go, better you should tell me yourself. What's your definition? He goes, well, we're here to protect Trump, and we're here to protect Trump from these dangerous groups like Code Pink. And I go, no. I know Code Pink. I'm the fairy godmother of Code Pink. I gave him the name, not violent. And he goes, oh, not violent. I go, not violent, like at all. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, we'll calm down about that then. And I go, yeah, I got it. That's good. So we're still, you know, promise keepers, patrol the border, the thing, you know, it's like, how do we? So I brought up the movie Enemy of the State, and we were bonding. We love the movie Enemy of the State. We were bonding, you know, and we go, oh, and we're just having this conversation when Sue, my possibly new Pacifica friend, comes down the street and sees us and comes right to the table. But the minute she sees this guy, she goes, I go, I've just been working 30 minutes to get us into an interesting spiraling place. And she's like, male chauvinist, patriarchy, you know, pig, terrible thing. She manages to order something. But anyway, so then she rushes off. She leaves her phone and pays the wrong bill and then comes back and whatever, and then flounces off. And the guy, the promise keeper guy, said, you see, her anger has made her confused and dangerous. And if we were in a tense situation, I would have to sacrifice her to save you. So I said, thank you, I think, right? And that person, Pacifica teammate, never spoke to me again. But see, now it's like I talk to a promise keeper. They're all getting sentenced to like 18 years, 22 years in prison. I don't see my guy. But it was an underworld encounter. And I've really kept that always going, right, you know, Venus, you know, what's your story? How can we find a chord? There we go. And we formed a quirky kind of alliance. All right. Good. But what he said, her anger and her confusion has made her, you know, erratic, and vulnerable. And in an intense situation, I'd have to sacrifice her to save you. But that was a great thing to say, anger and polarity. And so in all of our ways, we want to put things kind of on our work table of aspiration, you know, the qualities we would want. But I still wish that guy well, right? It was a meaningful conversation. The whole thing, right? So there's that. So Venus back from the underworld. Let's speak about Venus and let me just bring up a little bit of a chart. Some of you are astrologically cognoscenti or been hanging with me for a while, and some are like, what? You know, so just let it wash over you. Just let it wash over you. So all right. So we just want to bring up the chart of now. Oops, wait a minute. There we go. We can do this. Alrighty. Yes. So here's the chart of now from here's me outside Washington, D.C. Many of you know how astrological charts are set up. They're just factual maps, right? And so this is the Earth. There's me. Here's all of us, wherever we are. This is the line of the horizon. The only thing different from a more usual map, the way we do this, is on the left is east. But let's just honor everybody for the fun of it. So we have the sun in Virgo at a particular degree. There's a humming theme here. This is an aristocratic family tree. Now, that all degrees have a metaphor. But if we clean it up from the aristocratic thing, this plus the soon new moon are all about connecting with our lineage, connecting with our lineage, you know, that whatever we are, our craft, our power from dedication, we're connected in a resonant feeling backwards way to everyone who's ever done that, because we all need help. There we go. We have the sun and Mercury with a sesquiquadrate, a hard 135 degree angle over here to Pluto, pretty much way up there, out there, just to remind us of danger. You know, it's dangerous. And that's why I sent you the Heather Cox Richardson essay, which I hope you will read, and I will be proffering. I find her such a worthy narrator and so essential. Heather Cox Richardson, the link is in, you know, what we sent to you. But the whole realm, this is America's Pluto return. Pluto is going to retrograde backwards just a smidge to hang out at 27 degrees Capricorn in about, you know, a day. And it's going to station at 27 Capricorn. 27 Capricorn was where Pluto was when this country was founded. So we are in America's Pluto return. The whole team and Pluto says, all right, you guys, you can have a democracy or try one, because we haven't tried that yet. We've tried a republic, you know, but only if you look at everything, only if you look at everything, all the poison, you know, go way down deep, you know, and Heather Cox Richardson is so great on here's what we got to look at, and here's the resonance of the thing, and here's the essential inequalities that are still humming. Because anything that's happening started long, long ago. We can play in many realms in this. But so it's like danger. Yes, it's important to be aware and to cultivate. That's why we practice things, right? To cultivate calmness in the realm of danger, going, ah. And then just for the fun of it, I'll zoom around a little bit here. We also have... back to the sun and Mercury, they trine 120 degree angle to Jupiter. It's like, oh, of course, Jupiter, power of stories. It's at this powerful degree, 15 degrees of Taurus, 15 degrees of the fixed signs are called the four gates of power, where we are, you know, encouraged to invite in what we need, to invite in the power to animate the desirable story. And the trine to Jupiter. And so all the planets, this is for all of us, but they all live in our charts. They all live in us somewhere. and they like us talking about them. They go, as they report in. So you can feel, you know, one's lineage. You can feel the Jupiter Taurus, the stories from the earth and language from the earth. And our buddy David Grimes was friends with Chief Marie, who was one of the last Athabascan speakers in Alaska. And her tribe mates were worried that the language would die with her. And she was like, she was very serious. She was like, no, the language comes from the land. If you maintain your kinship with the land, the language will bubble back up. Okay. But this most fortuitous angle to Jupiter here that we have, that we launch on, is often called having a guardian angel, right? So the heat is on. We'll be looking out for each other, caught up in the action, right? Guardian angel. And I love thinking of Jupiter as in two ways as guardian angel. It says for all of us, we can look deeply at the myriad horrors and cruelties, you know, our rogue species has imposed on our kin, like, but if we ever get too transfixed by the abyss, Jupiter is like a wise, wise, ancient great-grandmother who comes up behind us and goes, how about a cup of tea, right? Break the fixation, change the thing, go touch the earth, walk the dogs, right? And the other way, which I like a lot, which is a part of us reporting in right now, here we go, why not? All planetary intelligences that comprise our inner and collective democracy have a default setting. But Jupiter's primary response, Jupiter's primary default setting is curiosity. So other parts of us can go, oh my God, the world's on fire, it's terrible, and the terrible things that and corruption, there's a lot. We want to put it on the table. And Jupiter goes, how interesting. What are we going to do? So it's the best guardian angel because it goes, we can go far, but we bubble back up with curiosity and story and blessing. So that's part of what we're playing with here. And then just to incorporate some of the patterns and give them voice. And you can always ask, like, what does that mean? You know, I can look at the chat and everything too. So many planets stationing, Uranus stationed and just retrograded, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, Jupiter just stationed. A station is when a planet looks to us on Earth like it's standing still and spending a long time at a particular degree. Mercury also stationing. So it really wants our attention, really wants our attention. And it leaves a big imprint. And so if you know your chart, if you have anything at 15, 23, you know, whatever, we can play with charts too. But so the stationing dynamic. Yes, anyway, so curiosity. And then let's look at the moon in Gemini. Moon is the only thing that moves really quickly, changes degrees every 2.5 hours. But so we're heading into an exact moon Saturn square pretty soon. You know, and so again, to know what's going on. So for instance, I was feeling some lonely alienation the other day and kind of like, oh, boo-hoo. And then I noticed like, oh, Saturn's opposing my moon. How wonderful, right? Of course I feel depressed. Oh, that's good. There's order in the thing. And it's, again, constrict, expand, you know, and it wants to be a dance. So the moon in Gemini to give voice, and it squares Saturn and Pisces for all of us. As we did last Dream Council, Saturn in Pisces says to all of us to wonder, to keep wondering, call and response with the whole big thing. You know, what is my primary dedication? What is my primary dedication? You know, and then let me be a conversational voice for my primary dedication. So left to its own, there's descriptive qualities to astrology, hence the word disaster, which means against the stars. But then there's instructive, hence the word consider, con with sitter the stars. So the disaster is like, I feel depressed and like I don't have a voice. And it's like, go deeper. Saturn always says, go deeper, depression, too shallow. Go deeper underneath to the dedication. We go, okay. I want to also just bring in the moon quintiles Venus. All right, now we're back to Venus, our guiding ally. Here's Venus having just stationed and gone direct and just emerging. You can see this is where the sun would be at sunrise, right? Or before sunrise, right? And Venus is just a little bit ahead. So you could see her, and she'll get higher and higher, you know, every day. So more and more visible before dawn, going woo. She's stationing at 12 Leo, which is the sun degree for Barack Obama. And it gives us also some calming counsel. The image for that degree is a sea captain rocking on the porch of a cottage. So it says, ah, well, this is part of our repertoire of responses, calm response. Yes, that's right. Rocking and gazing. And that's why, you know, for Obama, it was like no drama Obama, right? Because he would find his rhythm. Well, for all of us, this is how Venus is returning. Old sea captain rocking on the porch of a cottage, right? And she quintiles the moon. Oh, I love this. It's part of the mythic theme. As Venus prepares from the evening star to disappear into the underworld, you know, at each moon Venus conjunction, she gives up something conditioned from which she had gleaned her identity, her crown, her wedding ring, her clothes, then her skin, right? Just everything, gives it all up. When she comes back, and this is kind of where we get a kind of a head start on this. When we come back, then she gets everything back on a liberating, not conditioned way. She goes, I choose this. I choose this. And that's where we all are too. So right now for us tonight, Venus returns and she has her voice. And so do we. You know, and again, Venus, it's Quetzalcoatl as a guy, it's Inanna as the West. You know, she's multisexual. And the quintile 72 degree angle, we're looking at all the key ways of dividing the circle by numbers. I love the quintile. We have two of them. It's irresistible eloquence on behalf of what we love. So it's like, all right, if we're available, we go, sure, yes, available, you know, as a gift, as a humbling gift, let this be so. So Saturn says we can feel where we're frustrated about our voice or alone or feeling like we don't have what we need. But it quintiles Venus, who goes, sure you do. Sure you do. We have what we need. And we have a cool team right here. And many ways to play, and we have irresistible eloquence on behalf of what we love. It's available, you know, if we just go, all right, we're willing. and also my ally Sylvia, who may be joining us later in the course, we send her all kinds of calming to her back, right? Spasms. We're all in this dream together, so she has back spasms. So we send relaxing expansion to all of us, wherever there be tightness of a not comfortable sort, like, oh, you know, fear around money or anything. We go, right. So where there's too much tight, we go expansion, and talk to everything. What's your story, little spasm? Anyway, but Sylvia said eons ago, Caroline, the quintile is what you say, irresistible eloquence. But it's also the capacity to open portals between worlds. Like, now we're talking. All right. So we're going to keep this in our magic backpack of experimental skills. Believe nothing, entertain possibilities. Let's see. So by the power of language and voice and what we give voice to here, you know, to call in beauty, you know, intimacy, beauty, collaborative cahoots, the whole realm of biomimicry, Venus will be moving forward and come to her square to Uranus. Did really great show. We can help you find the link. It was a replay from 2008, but completely current with Janine Benyus on biomimicry. It's crucial to everything. Rather than looting nature, let's borrow nature's recipes and designs. She's got a million brilliant things to say. And she says all poisons are design flaws. Oh, okay. So to open portals of ingenuity to pour forth into the world, we'll play with this. The other quintile we have, which is exact within 29 seconds, is Saturn to Jupiter. We go, oh, that's so great. Constrict, expand. So the moon squares Saturn. No. But Saturn quintiles Jupiter, going, here you go. Wherever it's tight, just and constrict, expand. You know, and even just on a muscular level, as we go into the realms of reverie and trance and what we can play with, the Kabbalist years ago said, when you're in a threshold place, like about to go to sleep, start with your body and start with your toes and constrict and release them. And then all the muscles all the way up. We can do this now. Calves, thighs, you know, root chakra, just constrict, expand, constrict, expand, constrict, expand, constrict, expand, constrict. And they said, now, once you've done that, you're ready for visualizing the desirable. So we'll play with these many things. So, yeah, and this is, you know, there's a million ways to play with Saturn, Jupiter, right? But even just the micro of our opening going, all right, the heat is on, you know. But then the incredible dedication of that man, Luigi, training, you can see how much training he does. And, you know, Uranus was stationing at a degree of like, let's all get training. And it's like, okay, we'll slowly get our things in order. We're up for this. We can support each other and see each other doing good. But the incredible training. So he had a Saturn dedicated Pisces vision, right? To Jupiter, to diaspora. I mean, it's so this beautiful language can not to impose on things, but can help us to see order going, oh, that's a good example of that. Whenever we feel blah, 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 what would be the wonderful example? And that's why we start off with Luigi and just to keep that with us in these 7 weeks going, training, dedication. The dream does require, well, what he's inspiring in us. But the quintile, the capacity to open portals between worlds, well, he was doing it. It's so great. And the precision, right? Because he said, you know, it's got to be the right wind and the right thing and the right time. And I only have one chance to do this. And it was a success. And it's beautiful and heartening. And so we love that. So there's that for the moment. Oh, one other thing. probably many other things, but so Jupiter quintile irresistible eloquence and the capacity to open portals between worlds through dedication and story. So we're just exploring many ways to participate in what passes for news, right? And there's often people in this group who go, I never watch the news. I don't approve of the news. And it's like, there's many newses, cloud news, forest news, it's all part of it. And the human news is affecting everything. So it's all news. Yeah, it's why I stuck in the flyer, you know, the Jungian news, right? Phallic narcissism rose 20 points today in a mean move by the completely corrupt Clarence Thomas on the Supreme Court that stripped all protection from wetlands. Okay. But so we maintain, you know, jaunty playfulness and an expanding repertoire of responses. Okay. The last little thing, I think it's the last little thing over here. So Chiron, rising in the East, does trine Venus. We look at all the beautiful, Yes, Venus patterns. Oh, wait, there's something even more wonderful, right? All right. So, all right, Chiron trines Venus. And then what I didn't notice, but it's so cool, is Venus quintiles Ceres Demeter, goddess of the earth, dwarf planet, right? Again, it just repeats it again. Irresistible creative, you know, capacity, eloquence on behalf of the earth. And, series at 26 Libra says, we all, you all, we all work for her. And creativity is not performance, empty celebrity baubles. It's dedicated to restoring equilibrium and harmony. And we'll be moving through the autumnal equinox together. Equilibrium, equilibrium. So Venus is in cahoots with the two mythological founders of human ritual theater. Chiron, again, many of you hung with me. I'll keep it short, but he's the first mentor 2,500 years ago. There's a lot happening 2,500 years ago. He's a centaur. He's a centaur mentor. So he lives in a cave because he's half horse. But he is the most knowledgeable and kindest of all, of all beings. So he really represents the right relationship of wild nature, thin membrane, human culture. We want to carry this with us. He starts a school for future cultural heroes. Thank you, Chiron. Two of his more well-known students are, he teaches Orpheus to play the lute, and Asclepius to be the Greek god of healing. So in antiquity, healing and art, one thing. And, you know, ancient mind peers at the modern world and says, why are you modern people always separating things that belong together? Healing and art, go, right. And in our chart, they are together. You know, the whole realm, everybody's craft, everybody's form of expression, you know, all useful and wonderful. And then, I'll just put in my little Chiron paragraphs. So his students' tasks are impossible, right? Okay, impossible tasks. That's what we're here for. And they're all successful after they study with Chiron. So in Chiron's mythology, to be underestimated is considered a positive strategic advantage. I love this part, right? As we compost any of our whaley, any of our, like, those people won't let me in, they don't respect me, they don't know who I really am, all those things, right? And in Chiron's mythology, they go, that's excellent. How lucky you get into Chiron's school, right? So it metabolizes all that, like, ooh. It's like, no, any place you couldn't get in, how fortunate. What a good thing. And then Chiron goes on a journey throughout antiquity, and he founds these cultural centers called Asclepions, where astrology was taught. And I've been to the ruins on Kos. And that's where these were places of dream incubation, healing, and theater. Dream incubation, healing, and theater. And people would go at a time, you know, like now, like what the... You know, they drink rhodiola root tea, just a lovely adaptogen, just to settle in. They'd have a great dream, but the deal was they were incubating a healing dream for themselves and their community. Right? It went together. It went together. So they'd have a dream like that, and then they knew, because it's just common sense, and here it is for all of us, that they would only have the power of their dream once they gave. Here comes Leo, external creative expression to this inward invisible experience, right? This is an important working principle. We only have the power of an insight or the power of a dream or a vision once we've given creative outward expression. And people can send them in our 7 weeks together or keep them private or whatever, but it's a highly encouraged thing. It's like there's a world of difference between fascinating insight about my father and making an altar to that, you know, or a collage, you know, then you really got the thing. So people would have the dream. They would then write a poem or participate in a play or plant a tree, you know, just, you know, Liberty Hall, any external creative expression of this inner thing. Having done that, they'd have the power of their dream and they'd go back to their communities as seed Renaissance people. So that all really happened, right? So Chiron says, you and me, Venus, we're in cahoots. Let's bring back the old thing. And Chiron says, do we have a Leo thing? And we go, we do have a creative expressive thing. Do we have a dreaming thing? We go, oh my God, the Pisces, Saturn, Neptune there. And Chiron says, everybody's here. Let's give everyone here an all access backstage pass to the Asclepion. There you go. I just stick a pencil on a piece of paper by your bed, but without expectations, no whaley whaley, right? Just like, let's see what happens. But it comes from the dedication that they were dedicated to having a healing dream. This is so planet speaking. And it's also, of note that, in our first council, we started with the Titan implosion and the Titanic and the incredibly spooky astrological correspondence between those two events, and then the discrepancy of the migrants' boat sinking and hundreds of migrants dying without the proportional concern for these people. All people deserve concern. But in the mythic news, many of the migrant bodies were washing up on the shores of where the Asclepions had been, right? The modern world's cruelty is washing up on the ruins of what could heal it, right? It's speaking to us. We want to just, little goosebumps, we want to just again be available for mythological literacy, going, right, how is it all speaking to us? The moon in Gemini, it just changed degrees, right? Now its degree is holly and mistletoe, druidic life force, right? And so it's coming, right? And it just, oh, we did it, team. We just passed the exact moon square Saturn and we still feel okay. And mostly everybody's still here. That's well done. That's our first adventure, right? We go, yeah, dedication gets us through, right? Paddled together, that's really wonderful. So there's that. So that's part of our resources. And then Venus trines Chiron, quintile series, irresistible eloquence and the capacity to open portals between worlds. So Chiron founds the Asclepions, a mythic figure founding a real thing. Ceres Demeter founds the Eleusinian mysteries that were always around the autumnal equinox. Here we come, right? Longest human initiatory ritual theater that we know of, hundreds of years, right? And so here, rhodiola rutii, here definitely tripping. People would march to Eleusis or process, chanting to Dionysus. Eleutheria is one of his jollier names. Eleutheria, Eleutheria. They'd get to Eleusis. They would drink a psilocybin mushroom ergot brew, basically psilocybin and LSD, dance all night. And then everybody had a personal insight that they weren't supposed to share. Moon square Saturn says, right, to know, to dare, to will, and to be silent. We don't speak everything, right? Some things we, while they're brewing, So everybody had a personal insight they weren't supposed to share. But then everybody had a shared vision. Oh, look at this great thing here. I've got to. So Ceres is at 26 Libra. Neptune, dream intelligence, is 26 Pisces. It's a fantastic conversation. Between Pisces to Libra, this is a 150 degree angle. And it's like, right, from the dream world to the cultural world. And then everybody having danced all night and drunk their magic brew, everyone saw Persephone descending into the underworld and Inanna and all just and Barbie, everything descending into the underworld, a maiden returning an initiated queen. Everybody saw that. For over 100 years, which is why the scholars, and there are many at Harvard and Boston University and stuff, said guaranteed vision for over 100 years, mushrooms involved. Feel free to microdose, or macrodose, whatever you want. But it is a sacrament of kinship, right? And so, and also returning an initiated queen. It turns out the word queen in English is not inherited aristocracy. The word queen in English is one of the earliest words for a woman in her cultivated fullness, right? So, right. And we can switch genders here, just as Venus is Quetzalcoatl and Inanna. But it says, this descent and ascent, right? The Venus going to the underworld and now she's just back. The Eleusinian mysteries right around the equinox where everybody would have seen, Persephone descending and then coming back. And we say, well, ourselves, and then for all of us willing to do such adventures, the country itself, democracy itself, go to the underworld uninitiated, return. So that's part of our playful frame. And then Ceres 26 Libra opposite. This is Eris, goddess of disruption. She's way out in the Kuiper belt beyond Pluto. So a little abstract, but as all of our Gemini and Virgo Mercury minds know, anything for which we have a name, we have a relationship. So Eris is in Aries for all of us because she's got a 500-year orbit. But where she is, you know, is distinct. And right now she's exactly conjoined the north node of the moon, which is where the moon crosses the sun's path. Her image is a person bursting with gifts more than they can hold. Okay, so we are wealthy with ingenious solutions, wealthy with all kinds of stuff, and it is opposite Ceres. Okay, so anybody want to comment or ask question? Oh, Aaron saw Venus this morning. Ah, that's great. I'm behind on the chat. Expand, condense, different than constrict. Yes, that's good. That's good, Deborah Felmuth. Expand, condense. Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I'd love to speak to that because I think, of course, I'm so happy to be here. First of all, thank you. Yay. And yes, because constrict has to do with the idea of sort of shutting something off, as opposed to the idea of, you know, when we breathe, we expand everything. And when we exhale, everything condenses, but nothing constricts. You get smaller. Or if you just stretch an arm out, and as you bend, if you pull your hand toward you, the muscles on the back of your arm down here, they're expanding. They're expanding. They're actually getting longer. But these up here are condensing. They're coming. It's the same muscle, but it goes and it condenses into a smaller. Or we can expand that muscle and condense the back one. So everything, yeah. Contract is also a worthy word, but I like condense because it, both contract and constrict almost lead us down like, oh, that's a negative thing, as opposed to an equality where expand and condense, you know, they're both like, wow, equally interesting. That's my take.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's great. And then I have to quickly turn to my etymology online and look up condense, because I think of condense as sort of moisture on a whatever it is.
Well, that's condensation. And that is different from when you can, you know, you have to think in a physical way of condensing something. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, to make thick, but we can work with, that's right, the dense part. But yes, excellent, excellent. Right. Constrict, point well taken. If we're here to be an antidote to tyranny, tyranny is certainly constrictive. Right. And constrict etymologically is more violent, right? To cause, to draw together by an external force, right? So it's not autonomous. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To draw together at any point by force or action, right? And it's borrowed from the French, of course. Oh, okay, anyway, excuse me. Right, okay, so there's that. All right, okay, never mind. Okay, yeah, good point. So condense, and then, yes, expand, condense. Right, and that's perfectly in our assignment, you know, of Saturn in very, what you're suggesting, happy, collaborative. It's not a conflict, right, with Jupiter, right? So it's condense and all simultaneous in a cooperative thing, right, as you...
Right, because if you think about it in a very physical, in a dancing way, if you just move your body in this wonderful, oh yes, we're in this relaxed spiraling, we could go fast, whoosh, you can feel something in you is expanding while something else is condensing or drawing tighter, right, into itself, and something else is lengthening outward. And so it's the balance of those two things which creates Well, it creates the greatest athleticism, or it creates the most beautiful dancers. It creates beautiful art. It creates movement. And I loved a little article that I saw today, which was about Eileen Lalane, who is the wife of, or the widow
Jack.
of Jack Lalane.
Oh, I remember Jack.
Right. And so Jack, who was this, he was like the father of all this exercise, you know, it started back in the 50s. Well, it turns out his wife is still alive. She's 97 years old, and she is incredibly fluid. I mean, she's like, she says, okay, it's true. Since I turned 95, I've fallen down a few times. But she is all about this. Yes. If you don't keep this balance of moving in, moving out, squeezing, and then letting it all go, then you become stiff, brittle, and it's all of the things we could say our physical, our mental, our emotional selves, you know, all are possible victims of the same pattern. So we want to keep them all moving and kind of have an equilibrium, I believe, between there's no negativity in coming close if you pull your arms in. Just like there's no negativity in stretching them way out, or one in and one out as you're giving and receiving. Who knows? You know, which is this? Is this, if you just put your hands in front of you, are you receiving something here, or are you giving something? And that's a beautiful exercise for every. Yeah, somebody just said more undulating. Exactly,
Yes,
whoever you
yes.
are. But this gesture, I have been doing it a lot lately, and just standing and feeling, am I giving or am I receiving? And is it either or is it both, and is it and?
Yes. So many things. That's really great. Yeah, because as you were moving, I realized, part of what I love about Middle Eastern dancing is it's gathering in order to spread, right? So it's the in, yeah, and they love each other. It's again, condensing or whatever additional words, and undulating. Yes, whoever said undulating, I was thinking that. So there we go. Yeah, because the in the earth, right? We're going to tie everything in the earth. The sky rivers have lost their undulation, right? Which is why we have these heavy downpours and the drought and flood thing, And so it's we, our rogue species has caused nature to lose her capacity to undulate. And so we want to be undulating, spiraling, exactly as you say. And the other thing that is so great that you have invoked is, I often say this, but let's really, really do this. It's the Jupiter blessing, the earliest thing I learned a million years ago. So simple. And it really is, I mean, something we can spend a long time on, but we won't right now. I want to give everybody the gist of it, but it's so simple. It's to imagine sending blessings to all creatures above, just and receiving blessing from all creatures above. There's your reference, Deborah. And sending Jupiterian blessings to all creatures below, and just imagine all the little beings and that. Some 53% of all the life on this planet is underground, right? So we should be respectful. Sending blessing, receiving blessing from everything above. And then we do the directions, to send blessing to all creatures in the east, especially the grumpy neighbor. There we go. Because New York Times study said our happiness, or psychological study said our happiness is highly related to the happiness of our neighbor, even if we don't know them. It's like, whoa, it's improved my behavior. May it go well for you, no matter. Okay, so blessings to all creatures, there we are, yeah, and then receiving blessings. And blessings to all creatures in the south, all the little beings, all the little beings, all the, yeah, and receiving blessing. And blessing to all creatures in the west. And receiving blessings from all creatures in the west and in the north. Sending blessing to all creatures in the north and receiving blessings. It's a really simple, incredibly great attitude adjustment. If we're ever, it's like, right, because when we're back in the choreography, exactly as Deborah was suggesting, of sending and receiving, it's all a dance, right? So
Caroline, can I tell you something? After you taught that a few times, one other time, I would do that blessing in the morning, but afterward I would just sweep it all around as if it was like a big cloak wrapping around myself, like a cloak of blessings and gratitude, and then I would just seal it in with that Saturn dedication at the end, so it was like a cloak of love and just dedication. So I'm just adding that because I took two of your beautiful things and created them for a morning routine. I thought I would share it.
That's wonderful. That's super wonderful. That's super, super great. Yeah, no, exactly so. And just as you say, and Deborah was suggesting, the Kabbalists who taught this said, if it feels like the slightest bit of effort, that's not it. Sending and receiving is the nature of creation. It's replenishing, right? And that's something, you know, for us all to kind of play with in our relationship to work or any form of hardship or whatever the thing is. You know, I was examining, like, you know, where have I been feeling depleted, right? And it's like, no, let's restructure that so that work is replenishing. You know, and it's related to the daunting assignment I put in our missive that I got from Ali Banafshe, who said the Sufi saint. I'm not sure if Sufis have saints, but Rabia says, I was reborn when I loved all that I had feared. It's like, it's a big assignment, you know, and we got to tease that together, like even tyrants. It's like, well, we want to do impossible things. We want to do impossible things. Right. And yeah, Aaron says the happiness of our neighbors, possibly some in training. Yeah, it didn't make sense. You know, at first that study, it said our happiness is more related to the happiness of the neighbors around us, even if we don't know them, than with people we live with. Right. And it's like, okay. Right. All right. You know, we'll try that on. We like looking at things for, yes. And Elizabeth says, yes, more undulating. That's really super great. So yes, that's so wonderful. So we're crafting our, whoops, vessel. Oh, no, never mind this. Oh, here we are. Okay. So people who've been with me before know that all summer I've been in love with the fact that the word vessel in all languages, said the etymology dictionary, means container and boat. I love that. I just love that. So we're and craft is my other favorite word, right? So Max Dashew says, craft means power from dedication. Now we're back to, what are we all dedicated to and how can we help each other to deepen the thing? And we go, that's really great. And craft, of course, also is our sturdy, our ocean worthy craft, right? So I love that thing. So we're crafting our vessel. Here we are just now putting our team vessel. And and Saturn and Jupiter in quintile cahoots are wonderful. And they say, you know, form the vessel of your dedication. And Jupiter says, I will fill it. And we go, okay. And, you know, again, we gather to practice these things. You know, I was convening a wonderful council with Sean Patrick O'Donohue, who may join us later in our cahooting. But we'd had that Saturn Jupiter thing going, craft the vessel and Jupiter will fill it. And we were both feeling, you know, some anxiety about, you know, I don't know, money or time or whatever. And I go, well, we're taking the courses we're giving, right? And so have you drawn your vessel? And, you know, and he's like, no. And I go, I haven't either. Let's do what we're telling other people to do. It's like, okay, craft the vessel. And for everybody, just everything, no rules but guidelines, just encouraged to, you know. And then I found, you know, vessels, you know, Tibetan bowl, dusted off, you know, drawing. I'm drawing vessels too, you know, that we toss things into and ladle things out. And it's like, right, it's like what we're proffering is, you know, to be practiced, and then and report in, you know, on scouting practices. Our scouting reports going, well, here's what worked, or here's what didn't work, or here's an issue in my neighborhood, or here's an issue in the world, right? So we can bring things in to go, well, then what's the story, and how do we shapeshift and participate? So this is our preliminary crafting of our team vessel, you know, already pretty cute. And so it is participatory. You know, where I love being a heretic, and may we all be heretics, because remember, it was a term of praise in early religion because it meant cross-pollinating contributor to culture so that knowledge never degraded into superstition or dogma. Yeah, let's, you know, welcome heretics. That's why, where I'm a heretic, even in the kind of astrological realm, you know, a lot of what passes for astrology and my, you know, is description of symptoms that happen when you don't follow the guidance, right? And that's why I love the word participatory astrology, participatory mythology. It's not what's going to happen to us, right? It's like what's available with which to cooperate. And so, yes, participatory news, right? As Scoop Nisker, I think he's departed now, used to say, you know, and if you don't like the news, make the news. There we go. Right. We'll bring up many colleagues and or comrade or whatever they are, and feel free for people to volunteer too. but the yes men are very interesting cultural hijinks artists. And I've hosted them on radio. In person, they're not that playful, but in the whole larger thing, they really are. And they created a hoax that I completely fell for, because they use websites and everything like that. So they put out a statement from Mattel that, due to, you know, allegedly from Mattel, that due to the success of the Barbie movie, and they want to be more ethical, they're ceasing using all plastic, and it went on and on and on. But it was just within the realm of believability, the language and the thing. And then it turned out to be a hoax. And I was like, oh.
And it was even more than the realm of believability, because it was the realm of desirability, because they were going to continue to make Barbies and Kens, but they were going to do it with mycelium. And so that would be the most like, oh, yes, please do this thing.
But right. Yeah, that's right. And I was like, by God, that movie really is magic. And then it turned out to be a hoax, but a very clever hoax. And so we say too many things. And if it's not true, let's make it true. And they've done this before, because where they mimic, like, the Chamber of Commerce and put out press releases about, we've changed our mind and we're in favor of farmers markets and collaborative whatever, you know, and the groups get praised, like, oh, thank you so much, right? And then they either, the parodied group, have to go, no, we didn't that, and it's like, oh, boo on you, or, well, thank you. It's like, I was talking years ago to Tibetan activists, and they said, and nobody bad is listening, right? They said, when they pull off some desirable thing, they always thank the Chinese government. Look at this beautiful thing. Look at this beautiful farming cooperative. The Chinese government did this, right? And the Chinese government is like, we didn't really. Well, thank you. Thank you. And that, so it can move. And I think this is part of the realm in which we all want to play, which is, what's the desirable? And once that cat is liberated from the bag, right, it's got some woof to it. So that's fun. Right. So when we distill the news into its symbolic form, then we can shapeshift and begin to imagine participating, right? And it's the thing that some of you have been with me so long, you can chant along, but everything I do say, even if it's repetition, I say with fresh enthusiasm. So the thing from long ago, right, when friend told me about his woman spiritual teacher friend, who had been long estranged from her son, like years of not talking. And so she asked for a dream, right? Here's the dream news. She was like, all right, send me a dream. And she had a dream in which she saw her son with an octopus wrapped around its heart, his heart. And she woke up going, whoa, wow, that's a dream. And so she did not go into therapy. She did not whatever. She was like, I can work with this, right? Once we get the image, we can participate, right? So she imagined in her mind's eye, shape-shifting into a dolphin that swam up and gently, gently butted at the octopus until in her mind's eye it let go of her son and swam away. And there was her son, right, no longer constricted, his heart. And it was, I forgot exactly, but it was within hours her son called for the first time in years and said, this is so silly, let's work it out. Yeah. Anyway, I love that one. You know, we want to tease that into everything. Once we have an image, then we know how to shapeshift into playing with it. You know, and that's also part of, you know, what we did in Council Dream Council 1, and we're going to continue too, is the wonderful work of my ally, the late great Donna Graham. I've inherited notebooks and notebooks and notebooks of her and channeled her that I haven't even opened, that we'll see what's she's sending to us. But I'm grateful to her forever, because in our little small dream group, she just guided everybody to tell their dream and then to tell their dream as though everything in the dream was them. And it was so profound, because you saw people, you know, the small example I always use, you know, somebody said, I dreamt I was speaking to a friend of mine, you know, in the street. And she and Donna would say, well, when's the last time you spoke with that friend? And they were like, oh, you know, 20 years ago in college, right? So I dreamt I spoke to a part of myself I hadn't spoken to in 20 years at a time when I was learning. It was like, ooh. And you'd see people coming to like, oh. And the woman who dreamt about the tornado, it took her forever to say, I dreamt about the wild, spinning, violent parts of myself, right? But when she did, the whole room relaxed. It was like, and so did she. And it's like, all right, now we can play with it. So ever since Donna taught me that years ago, but I like, this is why we're here, to tease that into the news. The news is our dream. The news is our collective dream. And if we can dream it up, we can dream it down. And to experiment with, it's all us. It's an experiment. You know, and then how should we address that? And this is where we can all contribute and wonder together, you know. But, you know, in seeing, it was Enrique Tarrio, head of the Proud Boys, who was sentenced today to 22 years in prison. And that's what made me remember the promise keepers who are also getting sent to prison. And I think my guy's okay, right? I haven't seen him, you know, lately, and whatever the thing is. Well, see, forming relationships that transcend polarity, that's, we did that, even though the progressive radio was like, you shouldn't do that, right? It's like, oh, right. So reading about this guy, Enrico Tarrio, who was a big deal guy, head of the Proud Boys, you know, stand down and stand by, said the former guy to them. And they're all connected to Roger Stone, and we can track all of that nefariousness as much as we want. Useful, because all these things started a long time ago. And the Dementors have been long planning. But in thinking of that, going, Saturn and Jupiter, I don't really want to punish anybody, but Saturn says, but we do want to hold accountable. you know, accountability is the sine qua non for democracy, and we want to be agents of accountability. But I'd like Enrique Tarrio to, you know, be sentenced to a comfortable cave with no Wi-Fi, and a plate of psilocybe mushrooms, and maybe some ergot, you know, or some rhodiola root tea, and some. We can furnish that room, you know, for healing rather than punishing. And so we get to play in these realms. All right, so there's that, the thing that's good, with good. So anybody, let's see, I can always just check back over here. Weave a coracle of river grasses, says Deborah. Yes. Ah, is that something you're going to do? Weaving a coracle.
When you were speaking of, well, I'm a weaver, so it kind of is an attractive idea. And I realize I live very close to a cattail marsh. And so, you know, that making the vessel is what I was. And the boat. And yes, that's what I was thinking when I wrote that.
Oh, that's beautiful. Late, great, wonderful, wonderful ally, Bob Goff, who is such a great trickster and so dedicated and so effective lawyer for the Lakota Sioux and many, many other things. But he was very big on cattails, and bringing the relatives of cattails, you know, back to Hawaii, because they help fireproof the land, but they're also excellent ground up as flour. They're an excellent food. All right. So cattails. So everything like you clever cattails, you are woven into a vessel, and remember, Saturn, again, the dedication conveys the blessing. Here's the undulating as we craft, right? And it's wonderful, Max Dashew, that I love so much, you know, her great website and women's histories and stuff, saying, remember, in Northern Europe, you know, as women wove or made things, they sang blessings into what they were weaving, right? And the Christian monks came along and said, no singing, no blessing. And Max said, well, a lot of it was sort of goddessy songs, right? So anyway, but they outlawed singing and blessing, right? So we are heretics bringing it back. You know, Saturn says just to get extra benefit from whatever we're doing, just add dedicated blessing, you know, and this is part of where we have ally etiquette. We're allowed to set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients, you know. So may whoever sees this woven coracle, may it be that they feel more kinned with their dedication to God. Whatever we want to put in there too, that's really good.
From whence the story springs of the weavers who were singing, who then were told by the Christian priest not to sing, and it may have its truth. And there's also another story too, which is they're still singing. And so one of the places that we love to hate in this country is Iran. And now in Iran, when you have what are called the court carpets, or I mean, because you have tribal weaves and then you have very, very formal weaves, and the very formal weaves might be being woven in carpet studios where there are many looms. And they're upright looms, right? So your warp threads are up in front of you and you're sitting on a bench here and you're working with knotting and tying down. And you might have a cartoon behind your warp, but not necessarily. Whether or not you have a cartoon, there is someone who is chanting the pattern so that the colors and the number of knots of that color before you tie and go down, and then you pick another color and you tie and you go down, and then fork, because you pound it down. So this is happening today. The carpets are still being woven with this chant, which is not just, you know, tie three red ones, but is rather the most beautiful. If you've ever heard Iranian music, and maybe I'll try and get you some, Caroline, you can play it one week, because very, very mellifluous music that, because it uses scales that we don't necessarily have in Western music, it's hard to tell sometimes, is this very sad, or is this just poignant, or is it, oh, but it's almost happy. In other words, it skirts this line that is not major or minor, which is what we're used to listening to. And so that's where the chant is coming in, those weavings.
I love that. That's so wonderful. Right, the singing continues, and the chanting, and we are remembering, because Saturn in Pisces, our dedication, Neptune, big collective dream mind, we're all in this dream together, we're all part of, yeah, and I have so many things that I've quoted from you, Deborah. Deborah says, the word salam, meaning peace, is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of oneness, right? And that's very, very Neptune. And the other thing I always quote, and you can chime in and take over, whatever, but I treasured this since you said it a long time ago. In the West, we think of the future in front of us and the past in back of us. Who cares, right? And in the Middle East, it's the reverse, right? Water reflects a reverse image. We're gazing at the past in front of us. Let's all try this, team. I love this. It's like, and the future's invisible, and we're crafting the future by gazing at the caravan of our past mentors. Since you said that, I keep it with me always, Deborah. It's so wonderful, and it's very, very here now. Chiron, the mentors, said, let us gaze at the caravan of our past mentors, human, animal, tree, plant, you know, reciprocal mentoring, you know, but we're crafting the future with their help and by their qualities. And that's so wonderful, as Chiron trines Venus. So I love that. So I want to deconvene us pretty soon. We have a medley of, you know, witty things to deconvene to, because I do want to keep us pretty close to, you know, hour and a half kind of a thing. So this is our beginning crafting. And but if anybody wants to speak now, that is completely wonderful. I think everybody has the capacity to unmute themselves if they so feel. I'm looking at everything. Okay, that's good. And then just reviewing back to Deborah, condensed like, yeah, Aaron said condensed like water, and you go, maybe like a sponge soaking up water, expands and condensing, squeezes water out. That was wonderfully said. So anybody have a comment or a question or a wondering or an undulation? We'll send notes out tomorrow as well.
Sure, Caroline, and Deborah, I just was love the idea of the cattails into the coracle. And Eliza and I are in a situation where we kind of lost everything to mold, right? So we have these, it's getting blurry right now. I don't know why. We have these funny pillows that are cats with a tail, that we sleep on for pillows right now, that we got at like a Japanese market. And I used to sleep with my dear cat Samantha, my big Maine Coon, and I would hold onto her tail when I slept because she'd sleep next to me. So this pillow Eliza brought me, I was like, oh, my cat has passed on, but I can still hold her like it's this very comforting thing to hold her tail. So it just resonates with me so much about the cattail coracle. It's very beautiful. So thank you.
It's wonderful. Yes, we're all aspiring to be more crafty. That's a great thing. Okay. So
I've talked an awful lot, but I do want to share one more thing.
Yes.
Which is that I'm actually here. I'm in the rocking chair on the porch at a cottage on a lake.
Yes.
So there I am. I'm at the Venus, or in Leo, I think, yeah. Degree, which is fantastic. But today I had an experience that I've never had before that I think is appropriate to what we are about. And that is that I was paddling, and I was going between two islands. And there are several kind of rocks, big boulders that come out in a line. And you can see that the three islands in a row, really four islands in a row, are a kind of a spine that goes down the middle of this lake, and they emerge and they're big islands or not. They're just a couple of boulders. And in one of these areas where it was just boulders, there was a great blue heron, and standing like a statue, just, you know what that looks like. You've all seen this, I know. But what was so fabulous was that I came probably within 6 feet. I have never been this close to a gray heron before. I was paddling very slowly. I was in a kayak, so I was doing this stroke, you know, a little left, a little right, and probably around this speed and this intensity. I wasn't trying to get anywhere very fast. And I saw him, her, them, look from the side of the eye at me and not move. But the eye moved. So as I moved forward, the eye also moved forward in his head. And I could tell that he was gauging, is this a threat or is this just another being? I'm ready. If it's a threat, I'll do something. Or if it's an ally, maybe I'll just stand here. And so it was really a beautiful lesson and kind of an image in not reacting, in just taking everything in and being, you know, it's the calm. Let's just take a moment here. Let's just take a breath. So I just wanted to give you
that. Oh, that's so beautiful. That's really great. Right. You know, and Venus would say, right, calm responsiveness is intimate, right? And hot reactive is aggressive, right? So yeah, calm, intimacy. Great blue herons. They are symbols of immortality. So when you see one, you go, oh, long time, which is a great lead into where we're gonna, how we're gonna finish here. Staying alive. And oops, and here comes the cat. It's Isabella Catwitch, who was very kindly stayed away until now, and she goes, it's time to deconvene now. That's right. She rides the Ouija board. She does many things. You are very good, Kitty. Yes, you are truly Isabella Catwitch. But and also the great blue heron, there used to be more here, and one of them would see my dog when I had the wolf dog and me, and would accompany us through the woods, which is hard, right, for a blue heron to fly through the woods. But it would fly from tree to tree and go with us on our walk, right? So apparently, as your great blue heron, all of nature is sending little emissaries. I think it's like we say, some of us are trying to be less rude, and they're like, speed it up, really? Oh God, okay. But sending little emissaries for us to form alliances and tell the story, as you just did.
Can you hear the loons?
Not quite.
Sorry.
But we can imagine we're hearing the loons. But everything is saying yes, remember we started with the heat is on, which is, you know, witty Glenn Frey. Caught up in the action, I'll be looking out for you. I love that part. And that's what we say to the blue heron and the thing, caught up in the action, we'll be looking out for each other. The pressure's high just to stay alive. So, you know, with some witty, we have a staying alive medley that we will slowly, not too long, but slowly unfold. And as we do, well, I'll speak between these two little things. So, oh, Backstage Badger, do you have our first little medley of the two guys? Backstage Badger, calling Backstage Badger.
You can't tell by the way I use my walk, I'm a woman's man, no time to talk. When you see love, women walk, we've been kicked around since I was born. Now it's all right, that's okay, and you may look the other way.
That's great. Now we're going to segue, because it turns out that that song, you know, is perfect for CPR, right? So, and you're going to, in the medley that we've put together too, you'll see that, you know, really everything dances to that song. But apparently it is the exact right rhythm for, well, here we go. We've got our Staying Alive CPR, very short public service announcement video that Backstage Badger is lining up for us. I think, yes, here we go.
My name is Vinnie Jones, and I'm going to teach you a lesson you'll never forget. There are times in life when being tough comes in handy. Say some geezer collapses in front of you. What do you do? We need a volunteer that ain't breathing. Here's one I made earlier. First thing you do is you check him over. If he ain't responsive or he ain't breathing, or he's making noises like this, then his heart'll stop working, he's having a cardiac arrest. Look lively. First call 999. Then you do hands-only CPR. And no kissing. You only kiss your missus on the lips. Watch. Lock your fingers together, knuckles up. Then push down, right on the sovereign. Push down 5 or 6 centimetres. That's about 2 inches in old money. Push hard and fast, about 2 times a second, like to the beat of Staying Alive. Worried you'll hurt him? Better a cracked rib than him kicking the bucket. Keep this up till the ambulance arrives. So don't forget, check him over. Call 999, push hard and fast to Staying Alive. It works. Hands only CPR. It ain't as hard as it looks. If you want to come in handy in an emergency, why not sign up for one of our Heartstart courses?
It's very charming. And then just to show you that really it's part of our trickster repertoire, anything can dance to this, and that includes North Korea. And just to have this in our repertoire so that you can lighten anything up. And here we have the North Korea adorable. Here we go. Right, so just to keep that as part of one's repertoire as an antidote to authoritarianism, because it really helps quite a lot. And then we're here at our finale, right? We started up with, you know, Pressure High, Just to Stay Alive, and we're ending with Staying Alive, because it's of multiple uses and it's very charming. So this is just, you know, it's a sequence, you know, of you know, dancing, but we're all invited to, you know, to send forth our blessings, you know, as we see this, to undulate. And so here we go, it's our finale of the evening. We will be undulating to this, inhaling blessing and sending it forth. Here we go.
Oh,
Okay, team, staying alive, staying alive. You know, expand and condense, expand and condense. We'll send out notes. You know, wonderful, wonderful. Good night, everybody. Yay. Woof.